In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Of all the places in the order of creation that are the most welcoming, the most welcoming place in all of creation is, of course, hell. Many want to say it's heaven, but the Lord is very clear. The gate to heaven is narrow, and only the strong pass through it. Already the Lord's indicating not everyone can go to heaven, whereas he describes the path to hell as wide, and many are on it. And so the notion that hell would be a place of, as Dante would say, a place of where a sign would indicate a place to lose all hope, I would hold that if there were a sign over hell that says all are welcome, because it does not hold any kind of prejudice. Any creed can enter hell. Any belief, and anyone who believes anything, especially those who have redefined morality. The problem is that most people think it's the opposite in modern times, that heaven is not what Jesus said. The path to heaven, people think, is wide and many are on it. That is simply not true. Christ is God. He can only speak the truth. He cannot deceive nor be deceived. The gate, the road, and the gate to heaven is narrow, and only the strong pass through it. What makes the strength? First and foremost, the awareness of that reality. But secondarily, getting away from what we are experiencing in the world today, even in Christianity, which is antinomianism. Fancy word, which means against the moral law. Antinomianism started in the Gnostic period and somewhat disappeared, but then it reached a theoretical period under the arch-heretic Martin Luther. And then it started growing in Protestantism. To his credit, to some degree, even the arch-heretic tried to stop antinomianism against the moral law. And it was only a theory up until the 19th and 20th century, where it's now a lived reality. It is the very basis of American Protestantism. Once saved, always saved. You see, antinomianism on Luther's part began because Luther taught that no good works, don't do anything to help your salvation. No good work can help. The logical extension of that is that if no good work can help you get into heaven, then no evil action will impair your path to heaven, because you have no free will according to the Protestant heretics. That's why grace to them is irresistible. Whereas we hear in the book of Sirach, he lays it out very clearly to the young men he was teaching. You're given a choice. You can choose good or evil. You can choose fire or water. One will help you, one will burn you. But it is your choice. God does not give license to sin, as the Protestants teach, once saved, always saved. Therefore, no matter what sins I commit, all my past, present, and future sins are forgiven. That's antinomianism at its best. And our Lord is very clear. Only the branches that produce fruit, good works, will be attached to the vine. Those that produce nothing will be cut off from the vine, Jesus says. And remember what St. Peter says, the reality that if you go back to sin after you have been baptized, like a dog going back to his vomit, he says, drawing from Proverbs, then you are in a worse state than before you were baptized at all. But remember, Protestants, because their antinomianism, teach that baptism is merely a gesture, not a sacrament, of your will to choose to accept Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. And then suddenly nothing applies. But the reality is, our Lord would be speaking to a modern Protestant when he says, "Do not think I've come to abolish the law." And that would include the liturgical law, liturgical worship, which Protestants abhor. Our Lord fulfills it. The problem for us, though, is that too many Catholics have become antinomian. And they do it in a way that is even more obnoxious, because they still dare to call themselves Catholic and yet do not believe that the moral law must be followed. Hence, you're a person that stays away from the church all your life. And then suddenly when you die, you want a Catholic funeral. Why? You stayed away from the church. What gives you a right to a Catholic funeral? Well, because if you're an antinomian, you think you're entitled to it because Deus caritas est, God is love, and therefore God must give me what I want because to the antinomian, love is a binding, needy, desperate thing that makes people lose control and lose their freedom, makes them clingy. But authentic love is liberating. It's an act of the will. You choose to love and you seek what is best for the beloved as God does for us. Hence, it is the God of love who permits souls to go to hell because, as I remind you constantly, you spend your whole life away from God, no life of prayer, no life of right worship, right belief, then God's not going to make you spend eternity with him. Your life has spoken. You've made your decision. You've chosen the fire over the water, as Sirach alludes. And it is God of love who sends you to hell, because why would he make you stay with him when you rejected him your whole life? He would not be a loving God if he made you go to heaven. He would not be perfect. He would not be just. Indeed, an antinomian against the moral law tries to make God like us, tries to make God a doting, needy grandfather who is desperate for his children's attention and will do anything to love to get them to even wink at him. God is not like that. God is perfect in and of himself. What's dangerous about the antinomian attitude that many Catholics have, because again, it's always worse for Catholics because they should know better, is that the words that our Lord speaks to the scribes and the Pharisees apply to them. The scribes and Pharisees, this is the whole crux of the matter, why our Lord is preaching this after he preaches the eight Beatitudes and goes on to the reality of salt and light. And now we come to this part of the Sermon on the Mount where he's speaking about the faith must be lived interiorly. And the motivations of your actions must be known. That's why he is fulfilling the moral law, correcting the old law. The Pharisees say, if I do the bare minimum, I don't have to do anything else. If I love those who love me and hate my enemies, I'm okay. If I tithe, even on to the point of mint, if I fast 3 times a week, I'm going to heaven because God owes me heaven. It's as though there's some kind of arrangement where God is merely a kind of machine that dispenses what people want by putting in the quarter. And so the reality is clear. The Lord warns against the attitude of the scribes and Pharisees. He tells them that they're sons of Satan. He tells them that they will not find salvation by looking through the pages of sacred scripture. They will only find it in him. He tells them that they think they're sons of Abraham and therefore they're owed heaven, which is why he calls them the sons of Satan. Because they're not going to heaven. That's why I call them brood of vipers. And remember, he is the just judge. He is cardiognostic. He can read hearts. He knows exactly what he's saying. It was not that he was denying the Pharisees and scribes the opportunity to repent. He simply knows they won't. But he still warns them just in case they can catch on. But ultimately, he knows. And therefore, the modern Catholic who thinks they can live outside of the church, not go to Mass on Sunday, or worse yet, go to Mass every Sunday, but never go to confession and receive Jesus in a state of mortal sin, they are on the path to hell, even though they think they're owed heaven. Because only the strong pass through the narrow gate, Jesus says. What gives you strength? It's not the strength that of our own that gets us into heaven. It is only God's grace. The Protestants never quite understood what we teach on that matter. We teach what St. James teaches in his letter, which is why Martin Luther wanted it kicked out of the Bible, because it was so Catholic. Show me faith without works, I will show you a faith that is dead. Because when you know and love someone, you do things for them. When you know and love God, you serve him. And you serve him by good works. Now, the good works are not something that give us the grace. We don't merit the grace because it is God's free will gift. You and I don't merit in any way, shape, or form. But the merit we receive by sharing in the life of Christ, by cooperating with grace with our own free wills, counters one of the 5 wounds of original sin, which is a weakened will. The more you do good, the stronger your will is driven towards good. That's the strength that is necessary to get through the narrow gate. Especially the strength to withstand temptation. to ride through the temptations to sin and to combat at the basic level by having recourse to God's grace. And so our Lord allows us to be tempted, our Lord allows us to be tested so that we will become strong, because he knows only those who really have a strong will to do good, to serve God, will want to even enter the kingdom of heaven. Anyone who believes that the path to heaven is easy is deluding himself, and he's already on the way to hell. It's a true statement that anyone who says there is no hell knows they're going there, because that's why they deny its existence. Because they're probably not living a life in accord with the moral law. And think of how detailed our Lord is. The old law says, you shall not commit adultery. Our Lord says, if a man looks at a woman with lust, he has committed adultery. Protestants say that you can go to heaven just by accepting Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. But then why would our Lord teach the reality of the moral law and how much higher his standard of the moral law is, and how only those who practice what he teaches will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Those who believe it and practice it will be called greatest. And those who do not believe and do not practice are called the least. That doesn't mean they're in heaven. That means they're in hell, because heaven will regard them as the least. So it does not mean their rank in heaven is low. Oh, I can get by just by doing the bare minimum. No, it means they'll be called least in heaven because they're rotting in hell because they chose it. Because they let their wills continue in weakness because they would not cooperate with God's grace. And they let their passions rule, which made them slaves to sin, slaves to their passions. And that's why so many people misunderstand what love actually is, an act of the will, where you choose what is best for the beloved. As God shows us at every single Mass, as our Lord Jesus Christ shows us at every Mass, when he comes down from heaven to make himself present at the command of a mere priest, and makes himself present, body, blood, soul, divinity, and the sacred species, fulfilling what he said that the Protestants ignore in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John: unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. And he who sees the Son of Man and believes will have eternal life. This is the will of the Father, he said. Whoever sees the Son of Man and believes will have eternal life. So the Gospel of John tells us, and yet, you can't find Jesus outside of a Catholic church. You can't find those who even believe he is present. The communities celebrate themselves and their antinomianism. So be mindful of the reality of what it is to do good works. It's not merely trying to escape hell. It is making ourselves strong enough to pass through the narrow gate of heaven. It is a means by which our wills are driven to accomplish more good, because we recognize you and I, we cannot do it without God's grace. So instead of seeking worldly entertainments, worldly pleasures, worldly concerns, we seek moments of grace above all else. We seek the sacraments above all else. We seek Christ above all else. And despite the confusion within and without the church, we look to the Christ himself. So be mindful. Are you, since we're also exposed to antinomianism, a little bit of an antinomianist, where you don't necessarily believe the moral law applies to you and you really don't have to try? Because if you are, you're probably on that wide path that's easy and affords you no resistance. But if you are on that narrow path which leads to the narrow gate, there are struggles against sin. There are struggles with evil. There are struggles just by being Catholic in a world that hates true Catholicism. This is why our Lord says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.